He is running for superintendent of public instruction against the incumbent, Kirsten Basler. That's Brant Deck. He's a superintendent in Underwood, North Dakota, and joins us on our Newsmaker line today. Mr. Deck, how are you?
I am great. Good to be on the show. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us today on the program. You have some friends that have called in and said, we want to hear from Brant Deck on the radio. So whenever listeners do that, we always make it a point to put it on the calendar and make it happen. So your campaign is well underway with some folks hitting the talk radio circuit, which is fabulous. We love it.
Sounds good. No, I appreciate that. You're getting a lot of support. It's been fun. It's been encouraging. And tell you what, there's a lot of people that think it's time for a change in this position.
So tell me a little bit about what you bring. As I mentioned, you are Superintendent Underwood, so folks know that you're in the public school system now. But what else do you want them to know?
I have been in education. This is my 26th year, so I've 26 year in education. I've been a teacher. I've been a principal. I've been a coach. I've been an activities director. So I bring a lot of experience. I've also been the chair of the North Dakota Small Organized Schools. So I've been active in the legislative process, speaking on behalf of rural schools and all schools. I'm actually the chair of the finance focus subgroup. And so working with all schools, all sizes, to talk about the funding issues and where we're at with that. So I bring a ton of experience, and I think probably my, if you go to my website, you'll see big, bold letters, ability, integrity, and character, and that's who I am. And so that's what I bring. I bring experience and then those aspects of leadership that I think are so important for the students and for the people of North Dakota to be proud of this position, that basically it's someone they can look up to that has experience and has the ability and integrity to understand that it's important how you lead on the job and also off the job.
You talked about earlier the fact that your campaign pushes that it's time for a change. Talk about why you think a change is necessary. What are your points to the voters there?
Yep, exactly. My opponent has been in office for two terms, and yet seems like right now the biggest push is reinventing education. So it kind of brings up a question, what has happened the first two terms that we are still looking at reinventing? But that being said, just some challenges there. There's just been some challenges. Think about how we've gone through the COVID time here, and that's not challenging for anybody, but it's just there's been some things that have some frustration from the field as far as communication challenges and are we really meeting the needs of students? When I think it is so great to have kids back full-time, face-to-face, and here at Underwood, we've made the decision, and we're going. Every day, full day, we couldn't think of a very good hybrid plan to work for our kids and our teachers, and so we have our kids here, and activities are going, and tell you what, that's what kids need. And then I had a great conversation with one of my teachers that had visited with their students, and the students said, we'll do whatever it takes to make sure we stay in school face-to-face. And so that's what we're trying to do. And so I haven't seen a lot of push from my opponent for that. It's kind of left it up to schools to make that decision, which I agree with. I'm all about local control. But I do think that education is best done face-to-face. It's time for a change in the sense that we need to be working. That position needs to be working with school districts. I would be successful if I was elected if school districts are successful. So I would do all that I can to work with district leaders, district superintendents, teachers, principals, make sure that their needs are being met. It's not about whoever's in that position. It's about the kids. It's about the schools. And so taking a step back. Right now, I feel my opponent is more about her than it is about the school districts and the state and whatever else. So that's why I really feel like that's what I bring. I want it to be about the success of the students in North Dakota. We have a great state, and we need to keep, always room for improvement, but we have a lot of good things going on, and we need to make sure that those things continue to happen.
If you have a question or comment, that's certainly welcome today on the program at 800-228-0550. I've got a couple texts coming in, too, that we'll get to with our guest, a candidate for Superintendent of Public Instruction, the Superintendent of Underwood Schools. Brant Dick is with us today on the program. You know, on the hybrid business, I couldn't agree with you more. I just think that's, bring kids back and then talk about disruption. You're two on, two off, everything else. Even President's Task Force, COVID-19 Task Force member, Dr. Birx, who was here not long ago, said it just doesn't work. My understanding is that the hands of educators were pretty much tied because there was a requirement that the health entities of the particular school district sign off, so the public health or the local, health experts, and they were calling kids super spreaders, and pretty much they were the ones that said that it had to be a two on, two off. Have we handed some of the decision making to health officials? I assume we all, for the most part, trust our health officials in North Dakota, but on the other hand, when it comes to what is the best for our students, that really should be an educator, informed by health folks, but not letting them have a veto, right?
Well, and I think that was one of the main reasons why hybrid was thought of, is you have less kids to manage and you have the opportunity to physical distance, social distance, whatever term you want to use there. So that's why a lot of schools went that way, because it does fit with the health department recommendations and guidance. But in the end, there wasn't anything that would prevent a school. Like I said, we've done it. We've gone face to face full time all the time, and we can't keep social distancing. And unfortunately, you have situations where if someone tests positive, a lot of that class or that whole class has to quarantine for 14 days. And that's not fun. And it's crazy. When else in our history have we sent kids home that are healthy that want to be at school? And that's the conversations I've had with my parents here at my school district, is why are we doing that? And that's a great question. And I don't have a good answer for them other than, that's the guidance that we have. We have to quarantine. And I understand you're trying to prevent spread and those type of things, but it's a challenge, and I my heart goes out to those parents. Why would we ever want to say to kids you can't come even though you feel good and you don't have symptoms just because you were in close contact? But that's where we're at right now, and so that's what we're dealing with. And so you're right, there are some things with the health department that we're following and doing, but that brings up the whole point of why there needs to be a change. I mean, my opponent has never been a school superintendent. I'm the first school superintendent since 1984 to run for this position. And to me, that was a real basic question. What happens when there's a positive case? And it's taken a lot of effort and mixed messages. We get one message from our local health department. We get a totally different message from our state superintendent this time that was in conflict. How do we handle contact tracing? And it just showed the lack of experience of running a school district that, to me, was a very basic question. That was what we needed to know. What happens when there's a positive case? And so that I just use that as an example of why there needs to be a change.
Let's see. I'll go back and forth. Text call here, because we're stacking up here a little bit. Texter says, please ask Mr. Dick why his budget went up $1 million with 100 and some students, and the superintendent's budget at public instruction went down $1 million.
I guess I'm not completely sure what time frame they're talking about going up $1 million and how many years. I've been here since 2011, so I've been here 9 years, so I guess I'm not completely sure what kind of time frame. It has not gone up $1 million. In fact, our budget this year is going to be less than the budget was last year, so I'm not exactly sure where they got those figures from. But
Ron in Pick City for our guest. Go ahead. Ron, are you there? Go ahead.
Yes, question. Talk about your ability to lead a large group of people like you do in North Dakota as a superintendent of public instruction when there was inabilities to follow protocol with teachers and follow up with teacher and student conflicts in a small scale situation.
I guess, again, I'm not completely sure what he is talking about.
I have to say I'm not either. It sounded a little cryptic.
It sounds very cryptic.
Yeah. So, Ron, can you clarify that a little bit?
Well, you're going to have to. There's rules set in place and for teachers and students to follow. And when you do not follow those on a small scale for student-teacher complaints, how are you going to handle that on a much larger scale when it's school districts and the problems are much bigger and you're to come with quick answers for that.
Again, I have no idea to know what they're talking about. So, good question. I don't know.
Yeah, hard to answer when you're not sure of the question. Ron, if you can clarify that a little bit, we might be able to get you an answer. We'll take a break, come back with a couple more questions. Waiting for our guest, then what's on your mind? Don't go away. All right, back with more of our conversation with the candidate for Superintendent of Public Instruction in North Dakota, Kirsten Baszler, the incumbent there. Brant Dick is the challenger there on your ballot come November. So we're getting to know Brant and learning a little bit about why he is running for this post today on the program. Lots of calls, questions, and comments. I'll go to a text. I think I can understand this one. So the question is, what is the success of Underwood students? Don't they have negative choice ready rate and a higher remediation rate in the college than the state?
That was one of my opponents that brought that up in the primary, but you can get statistics for whatever else you want to look at, and it's a valid question. I mean, I'll say that. But when you look at our seniors last year, we had 17 seniors. Of the 17 seniors, 12 met the requirements to earn the North Dakota scholarship, which is way above the state average. And again, so, you know, depending upon statistics, whatever else, but that's what I'm most proud of. Our kids, they leave school, they're ready. 12 of them earned the state scholarship, which means a 3.0 GPA, which means test scores high enough to earn that. So, let's just make sure we look at the whole picture. And our kids do very well at Underwood. So,
are they talking about the choice ready? Are they talking about the choice ready program? This, you know, which by the way, I think is a wonderful program because the idea is we want high school students ready to make a choice. Do I want college? Is that what's for me? Do I want work? Am I supposed to go to the military? Is that the program we're talking about?
Absolutely. And the negative value was because the very first year we were one of the higher ones in the state. And so we had a little dip from year one to year two because we were already so much higher. So that's what they're talking about. But we're still way above the state average. So, again, it's when you have a small school, we're talking about this year my senior class has four kids. So when you get small numbers, you get some anomalies in our statistics. But I'll just leave it at that.
Got it. Let's see here. Keith in Wahpeton, you're next on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead.
Yes, my question is, what is his view on Common Core?
Great question. Common Core, you know, Common Core is something that for educators, we've accepted the North Dakota state standards. That is something that we have accepted. I'm always willing to look. In fact, I think it's been quite a few years since we've updated our standards. So I think it's time to maybe look at our standards again and see where we're at. I do readily admit that our North Dakota standards have some Common Core standards in there. I'm not going to deny that. But I do think it's something that we always can look at as our standards. And when that original discussion came out, I did not speak in favor or against that at that point. So that's where I'm at with the Common Core standards.
Keith, got your answer there, sir?
Are you in favor or against it, then, since you didn't state it before?
Basically, again, as educators have accepted, there's a lot of standards that are in Common Core. For instance, I'm a math. My background is math. And so one of the Common Core standards, which became a state standard, was multiplying two-digit numbers by two-digit numbers. It doesn't really matter what standard you have, you're going to have that as a standard. And so there are some, you know, Common Core standards that people struggle with that I understand why, but in the end, again, educators understand that we're ready to move on with that. It's more about how teachers put those standards in place as much as what the actual standards are. But again, I'm open to looking at our standards. It's been several years since we've updated those. So if I'm elected, that'd be one of the things I'd be looking at is let's take a look at our standards. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Keith, thanks for the call. What is the superintendent candidate's position on using select school staff to carry firearms to handle any gun violence emergency?
Yes, you know, that is a bill that was up through the session, this last session, and our organization, North Dakota Small Organized Schools, that I'm a president of, did stay neutral on that one in the sense of we think that's a local decision. If a local school district, the local school board thinks that's the best way to protect their kids, then this bill was passed that allowed them to be able to make some plans and allow that to happen. And so, again, I would be supportive of that because if that local school district, because there are rural school districts in this state that if something happens, they're going to be a good 15, 20, 25 minutes until someone shows up there. And so if that's what that district needs to do to feel that that's going to be provide some safety, absolutely. I've worked with that school district and say, absolutely, you have that right to do that. And I think that'd be a good thing for that district to do.
Someone's done a little research during the program here, texted a note that said the $1 million is part of the public record in North Dakota Finance Facts. The $967,000 increase is since he took over in 2011. So we'll have to tackle that one next time in greater detail. Brand Dick, candidate for Superintendent of Public Instruction, thank you. We appreciate it.